Hi, this is your host Sapna Bhatia, and welcome to another episode of TFR Let's Talk here at KubeCon and CloudNativeCon in Valencia, Spain. And today we have with us Matthew Bates, co-founder and CTO of JetStack. Matthew, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. Yeah, pretty glad to be here.
Of course, I've been to booths and I've seen your booth downstairs as well. But this is the first time we are talking to each other, so I would love to know a bit about the company since you're also a co-founder. Tell me why you created the company. The company is also relatively old in this world of cloud native era. You guys are almost grandparents. you are as old as Kubernetes. So talk about why you created the company, what problem you're trying to solve back then, and then we'll talk about what's going on now.
Sure. So we founded the company back in 2015. So this is just a year after the open source project, the Kubernetes open source project was started. And at the time, I worked at MongoDB. And this was at a time when great growth in NoSQL and a real demand for database as a service, being able to consume lots of databases and orchestrate the databases across potentially multiple clouds. And so took a real interest in Kubernetes because it sort of saw it as the future of being able to build on, you almost have to be the substrate that you can build complex, potentially stateful systems on. So we founded the company because we felt that this presented like a really interesting opportunity to be able to build those systems, but also for enterprises to like rethink the way that they develop and they build and ship software as well. We thought it was really the start of a real shift. And we knew that just like we'd seen with NoSQL, just like we'd previously seen with cloud, that a lot of enterprise was going to need a lot of help. Huge amount of new technology arriving. They would need to be able to understand it, embrace it. And so for the early years, we started out with consulting in mind. So rather than building a product, we really wanted to get close to customers, really wanted to understand, help them, educate them. So we did a lot of training, we did a lot of evangelizing really of the project and understanding where the gaps were as well. So we wanted to help them really make the most of it. And we had a great number of successes with early startups. We were helping some of the some of the hottest kind of startups in the UK, for instance, some of the challenger banks as an example. And they managed to really get going with our help. And now, of course, the rest is history. They're running entire banks on Kubernetes. But what we learned along the way were the gaps. We kind of realized where Kubernetes fulfilled the need, but actually there was additional requirement or required capabilities. And one of those was around certificate management. Like it's a hard problem, being able to developers, especially not keen to fetch certificates, and particularly to have to renew them as well. Everyone. There's a lot of toil effectively associated with fetching a certificate and ensuring that it keeps remains up to date. So we built in the very early days a project we call Kube Lego. The Lego Let's Encrypt Go. So we use the Let's Encrypt Go library in order to automate the issuance of certificates using ACVI. And this is at a time when Let's Encrypt was just coming about and, quick, easy, free certificates, what's not to like. So use ACVI in order to automate certificates for Kubernetes and OpenShift. And it really, really picked up a huge amount of interest. A couple of years later, realized, actually, it's not just ACVI. This is a problem that's faced by enterprise. And can we plug in other CAs? How can we make this really extensible to lots of different CAs? How can we also make it agnostic of use case? Because certificates get used for all sorts of purposes. X509 certificates get used for all sorts of purposes. So we built Cert Manager. So we started the Cert Manager project. It's a project that we still maintain today as well. Donated that to the CNCF last year. So it's now a sandbox project, downloaded millions of times a day and used by many, many developers across the cloud native community and also used by ecosystem projects as well. For instance, we've worked with the Istio project as an example, the Linkerd project, in order to integrate it integrate it as part of their software.
Excellent. So if I ask you in a nutshell, I mean, the way you're explaining the kind of problem you're trying to solve for the ecosystem, what exactly is JetStack today? What do you folks actually do? Do you help, just with getting started with Kubernetes, or you help them, because now you're doing so many different things? So who are you?
Absolutely. So today we are an advisory and a product company. So we continue the advisory today. We have a team that work across Europe, helping customers. We're working with some very, very big banks at the moment, as they're really effectively replatforming. They're taking entire systems and they're moving them across to Kubernetes at quite some scale, hundreds and hundreds of clusters. And they're having to do so with security foremost in mind. This, clearly banks, regulated industries want to be able to embrace this because they need to move fast, but they need to do it securely. So we have teams that are helping them to understand the challenges and really using the breadth of the tools in the CNCF to address that. So advisory, very important to us. Training. People are entering this ecosystem all the time for the very first time, and they need to be able to understand how to make best use of this technology. And so we do a huge amount of training in person. We do some really interesting wargaming where we actually break things and see how things look. We're going to look on day two and beyond. That really fun, really challenging, that the companies really value. We also have now, and we've been building with the help of our parent company, Venafi, a product for Cert Manager. So if you're taking Cert Manager, the open source project, and you're operating it across many clusters, potentially many clouds, and embracing things like service mesh as well for doing secure service-to-service kind of mutual TLS, as many of our customers are, we're building effectively a control plane that enables you to have control, consistency of those configurations, the orchestration and the visibility as well. And that's really helping some of our biggest customers to take really cloud-native zero trust to the scale that they are now demanding.
Since you kind of been there for a very long time, the kind of the whole ecosystem has evolved, markets evolved. The use cases of Kubernetes, early days, it was kind of more or less like serverless. Today it's all, early days was stateless, and like stateful applications are there. We are talking about data protection, we are talking about security, we are talking about high availability. What you would see in a traditional IT landscape is becoming the Kubernetes, but compared to traditional IT, LAMP stack, Kubernetes is much more complicated. There are so many knobs to turn. Also, you talked about banks. Of course, security is important to them, but regulations are even more important. And especially if you look at European banks, they're even more. So how have you seen the space evolve over time as you are serving these folks who want to consume Kubernetes?
So I think really go back a few years, a number of those types of customers really started small. If you go back to some of the early KubeCons, a number of those customers starting small, small clusters, really generally speaking, one application, perhaps one line of business, experimenting with cloud native. Think fast forward now a number of years, and what we're seeing, particularly in some of our biggest customers, is entire replatforming. This is not just serving one line of business, but this is now proving value to almost the entire enterprise. They want to be able to move fast. Number of our customers, they need to, they need to keep up. They need to remain relevant. They need to be, delighting, their customers. And so, what we're finding now is that as the ecosystem is maturing, it's getting to a level where they actually can bring, mission, critical, production workloads to Kubernetes and of course OpenShift as well.
Can you also talk about, because as you're talking about the banks, security. Traditional IT world, security was someone else's problem. We are seeing a shiftlet movement. We talk about zero trust, but sometimes these are more of jargons than seeing in actual practice.
Sure.
Because even talking about zero trust is easy, but implementing it, most people have no clue what it is.
Yeah,
so how have you, what kind of problem you see there? Because you actually help customers in resolving them.
We do. We're embedded in a number of customers who are doing this. And what we're starting to see is a real interest in sort of DevSecOps. So now really thinking about security first. So rather than it being that sort of somewhat afterthought, when you've built everything and you then put it to the security team for effective for approval, what we're now seeing is security being embedded a lot sooner in the software development lifecycle. And in fact, when projects kick off, applications are being built for the very first time, having the security teams actually there. And I think I think with certainly a benefit of something like Kubernetes is now security can be a platform offering. It can actually be built into the platform. So developers themselves have all the tooling built into the tool chains that they already use. The controls are put in place such that they have confidence that what they're putting through that lifecycle is secure, is trustworthy, is reliable. So I think, certainly much more interest in DevSecOps than we're actually beginning to even see people with, with those titles. We're in some of those customers that we have, it's really being realized now in the industry.
So we talked about the company, we talked about the kind of problem you're solving, we talked about the kind of customer base user, where you're focusing on. We also talk about anything else you want to talk about, or you think we have touched some core points to understand what the company is doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we've just put out just recently, just this week, is a toolkit for a secure software supply chain. It's absolutely on everyone's lips at the moment. In fact, I'm pretty sure the SBOM and various kind of keywords even get mentioned now in the boardroom. This is something that we need to take seriously. SolarWinds, Log4j, we're all aware of the very kind of high profile attacks that have been made, and I think it's definitely woken people up to the risk and also the sophistication of the risks as well, and the attacks that we now see. So I think it's really shining a light. And of course, just this morning, one of the keynotes, we were hearing from Shopify about what they're practicing and how they're addressing it as well. So what we've done is we've taken a lot of the great guidance that's out there. So the CNCF, of course, have a white paper on this. NIST have put out some guidelines following the executive order and a number of other materials that are out there. But there's kind of a lot out there to digest. I mean, and if you're a company that's got a supply chain already, a software supply chain, how do you make changes to it? How can you actually raise your salsa level? For instance, there's hundreds of recommendations. So what we've done with the toolkit is provided a really digestible means to be able to understand, what's the guidance? What's high priority and what's low effort? And so really using a kind of radar, what we're able to do is point people to really actionable recommendations that they can take, linking out to those created articles around from the CNCF, for instance, and as well as the Vendify blueprint that is open source. So they're really, really providing that means to understand what they can do. And it might well be just sort of taking the small steps, not fast forwarding over years of effort potentially to salsa level 4, but actually really taking the small steps that companies can take today to increase their security posture.
Matthew, thank you so much for taking time out today and talk about, of course, not only the company, but you talked about some niche tech, which was like more fintech, but it solves the broader problem as well. So thanks for sharing those insights as well. And as usual, I would love to have you back on the show. Thank you.
Love to be back. Thanks very much.